very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Kill the brothers.
The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers, how can we listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And don't forget that we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. If you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And we've been talking a lot about the campaigns as we move towards election day in November. And we've been talking about the contents of the different campaigns that are being engaged in, Republican campaign, Democratic campaign. And the inescapable component of both of the campaigns is the issue of war. How is one side going to talk about it? How is another side going to talk about it? And I am struck by the campaign ad that was put out, the initial campaign ad that was put out after the selection of John Edwards as the vice president for the Democratic Party, the initial commercial on television that was put out by the Republican Party. And it is an interesting one. I want to read a little bit of this commercial so that you can understand how war is playing a role in the campaigns that are being run. The content, the script, if you will, of the television commercial that began airing immediately after the selection of Edwards as the vice president for the Democratic Party. It's a commercial running only on Fox and CNN. And it's a commercial that has John McCain speaking. And the words read as follows. Quote, "It's a big thing, this war. It's a fight between right and wrong, good and evil. And should our enemies acquire for their arsenal the chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons they seek, this war will become an even bigger thing. It will become a fight for our survival. America is under attack by depraved enemies who oppose our every interest and hate every value we hold dear. It is the great test of our generation, and George Bush has led with great moral clarity and firm resolve. He has not wavered. He has not flinched from the hard choices. He was determined and remains determined to make this world a better, safer, freer place. He deserves not only our support, but our admiration. Those are the words of John McCain, as the war issue is the component of the campaigns for the two men that want to be president of the United States. And as you analyze the words that are used in that particular commercial, you can hear the fury in it, and you can hear the desire, or even if it's not a desire, the comfort with war. And we need to talk about that. We need to talk about war for many reasons, but in particular because war is going to be the issue that decides who will be the president of the United States in November. So to help us have this conversation about war, I have with me Woody Powell, the Executive Director for Veterans for Peace, and Bud Drapps, the member of Veterans for Peace. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I'd like to start with you, Bud, and I'd like to start with you in terms of what are Veterans for Peace?
Well, you're looking at me, and I'm Woody.
I'm sorry.
That's perfectly all right.
Woody. I'm sorry. Okay. Woody. I'm sorry.
I'm Bud.
I'm Bud Woody. Right. Talk to us about it. Talk to us about what is Veterans for Peace.
I believe that Woody could much better explain the whole story of Veterans
for
Peace.
Then, all right. Either one of you. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, we're men and women who have served in wars from World War II right on up through this present Iraq war. Mm-hmm. We have members now that are coming back from Iraq and joining our organization to talk about their experiences and some of the changes that they're undergoing in their views on war as mm-hmm. the result of their participation in war. War changes people, and the people in Veterans for Peace have been changed in a way that leads us to believe that war is not the answer to the world's problems as they've been put before us. And most of us entered war when we were very young and very poorly informed. We were pretty impressionable. I certainly was. I was 18 when the Korean War broke out, mm-hmm. and I think my story is pretty typical. I didn't know anything about the politics leading up to it. I just knew that I arrived there in a hostile country where neither the people of the North nor the South wanted me there, and made it abundantly clear, and made me very afraid, and made me very angry, and made me very violent and very reactive, and I came away from that thing pretty confused, and just went underground and pursued a life. Well, a lot of us stay there, but then many of
when
us...
When you say stay there, stay where?
Stay away mm-hmm. From involvement. But after you've had kids, and in my case, grandchildren, a lot of us become aware that perhaps this cycle doesn't have to continue, especially when we see it going on. You know, Vietnam followed my war. I became aware of incursions, military incursions in other parts of the world, South and Central America and so forth. And I began to realize that war had become kind of a built-in way of life in this country. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that for my children or grandchildren. I couldn't see a future in that, especially not with the weaponry we're using nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's so damn nihilistic. I mean, we have the capability of destroying the globe and everything on it. So now we work against war. We would like, I mean, our end game is to abolish war.
And do you see this particular war in Iraq differently than any other type of war in terms of getting people to understand why we should be about peace? Do you see this war any different?
I was in Iraq in 2001 mm-hmm. with Veterans for Peace, where we have rebuilt 4 sewer-polluted water plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the results of what is happening to those poor people over there. And I'll speak a little more about that.
Please, well, go ahead. Speak on that. What are you seeing with the people in Iraq?
Well, not only that, but with the people that are returning.
Okay.
I believe, and I'd like to speak about how we're getting our young people to go over there and fight. I believe that when you start an illegal, unjust war, that you've got to take extreme measures to justify it. And a young Marine speaks to that issue. He says that you cannot take young people off the street today in our democratic society, give them a machine gun, and make killers out of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he describes what goes on when we bring our young people into the boot camps.
What does he say?
He says that, and he explains, why are privates shown videos of the U.S. military massacres, thus causing us to scream with the joy of killer instinct mm-hmm. as brown bodies are obliterated?
Mm-hmm.
Why do the privates answer every command with kill, kill, instead of yes, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we training them to sing out when they march, you know? Here are some of the things that they are told mm-hmm. and what they chant. Throw some candy in the schoolyard. Watch the children gather round. Load a belt in your M60. Mow them little bastards down.
Jesus.
We're gonna rape, kill, pillage, and burn. Gonna rape, kill, pillage, and burn. And blood makes the grass grow. Kill, kill, kill. This is indoctrinating our young people. And this is what enables them to go over there and kill innocent people. What I saw over there in the hospitals, overflowing with little children dying from leukemia. And one thing that we don't hear about is the condition that our veterans are coming home in. I have an article here from American Free Press. We had 697,000 troops in Iraq in the first Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nearly 750,000 just to kick Saddam out of Kuwait.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there are 400,000 of those veterans that are claiming Gulf War syndrome.
Jeez.
Of that 400,000, two-thirds of them, nearly 750,000, are having children born with some deformities. And over 200,000 of those troops veterans are now getting some disability payments. These are statistics that are not being known.
How do these statistics play with statistics from other wars? Has this ever happened before? Have we ever had our veterans coming back with this degree of children being born with deformities and this degree of illnesses? Have we ever seen these kind of numbers before?
One instance was in the Vietnam War with the large usage of Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many troops came back mm-hmm. with the effects of that. That wasn't very well acknowledged by the government.
Mm-hmm. And it took years for the government to even finally admit that they were responsible for that and to compensate the veterans for that.
Right. But in the first Gulf War, they were coming back, and now the government is calling their illnesses post-traumatic stress disorder. In other words, it's more or less in their head.
Mm-hmm.
However, researchers are now saying there are three reasons why so many of our troops are being affected by this. And I'll list three of them.
Okay.
One is that in this war and in the first Gulf War, we are using depleted uranium weaponry. Now, these are weapons that when they explode, the uranium is atomized, goes into the air, into the water, into the ground. So many of our troops were exposed to that.
Tons of it.
Tons of it. We dropped 320 tons in the first war.
Mm-hmm.
We started this present war with 1,500 tons, which we probably shot up.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is when the Gulf War ended in 91, we had our engineers blow up hundreds of weapons dumps, you know, where Iraq had their chemical, biological weapons stored. We knew where they were. Saddam did not use 1 ounce of all of those weapons against our troops, either in the first Gulf War or in this war. Not 1 ounce.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have had anything to blow up.
That's right. Well, the government said that our troops were not affected in that fallout. But
our government said that when our troops went and dropped bombs on chemical weapons, they were not affected by that? Then what was our government worried about the use of chemical bombs and weapons for?
That's right. Well, it was a further excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally admitted that 330,000 of our troops had been in the fallout area.
Okay.
And there's one other reason.
Say that number again, please, Brett.
330,000 of our troops were in the fallout area.
Of the bombing,
yes,
of the chemical weapons that government sent them to bomb.
Right, right. Because we had 697,000 troops over there,
mm-hmm,
you see. And there's one other possibility. We were giving our troops anti-malarial drugs because malaria is a problem there. And what they were using is a drug called larium. Now, even the manufacturers of larium documented, and they say what the causes, what can be the side effects. Let me just read the side effects that...
And can you also tell us about how frequently were our soldiers ingesting larium?
In this year alone, 2004,
mm-hmm,
they have injected 14,000 of the troops.
It's a shot.
Okay,
it's a shot for malaria.
I believe that's
okay.
What it is, yeah. These are some of the side effects listed by the company that makes it. It says, the more common larium side effects include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, dizziness, vertigo, sleep disorders, ringing in the ears, headache, muscle cramps, abnormal dreams, emotional instability, insomnia, panic attacks, hallucinations, anxiety, depression, paranoid reactions, convulsions, visual impairment, numbness, rashes, and itching. Now, this is what the company says possible side effects.
Wait a minute, but I just have to resonate on that for a moment. We're sending young people into a place that they've never been before, a foreign land. We are telling them that they are going to be killed when they get here, but they've got to make sure that they kill first. And we are giving them a drug that causes paranoia in them, that causes hallucinations in them, that causes sleeplessness in them.
Suicides.
Suicides?
Yes.
That's what our government is giving our soldiers?
They gave them 14,000 shots this year alone. Yeah. Liz, as to what I saw over there, would you kindly describe what I'm giving you now?
You're handing me photographs of infants. The babies, it's like babies being born, if people can imagine what the Elephant Man looked like, only if you reduce that down to the size of an infant and you make that worse, because it's not the Elephant Man, while his head was hugely elongated and extended, these babies, it appears that, or this one photograph appears that this baby has two heads. The ear of this one infant, his body looks fairly normal, but the ear of the infant is shaped in a Z. That's the deformity of the child, and it appears that there may be some deformity to the lower part of the body. These photographs are really kind of too gruesome to even be able to explain. If you would imagine the face of the cartoon character from Saturday Night Live, Mr. Bill, where they just had circles drawn in the eye and a big circle for the mouth. And if you were to impose those specific characteristics on the face of an infant, that's the deformity that this child has. A circle for the mouth and two huge bloody circles for the eye, and the nose appears to have been absorbed into the face, and it's just kind of a little lump of a one-holed formation. This severely deformed child, the baby's head is adhered to the body. Now, this is an infant's body, and the head appears to be adhered to the body at a 90-degree angle. And while that is horrifying to see, the torso of the child, imagine, if you will, the shape of a melon. And imagine a melon split in half, that you can see the insides of it. That's what the body of this infant looks like. All of his intestines are pushed to the top of the belly of the baby, and it is a grotesque formation of a huge circle, and that's what that child looks like. Another child is being shown who has managed to grow to some level of maturation, about a 2 or 3 year old baby with no legs, sitting in a wheelchair, little toe-headed little boy, eyes and nose and mouth look normal, but where a arm and a hand should be attached is a shoulder with a hand coming out of the shoulder.
That's an American boy.
This is an American boy. These babies that I first described were the Iraqi babies.
Countless children being born over there.
These are the Iraqi babies were the first babies that I described to you. And the baby that I just described to you is an American boy. It's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. And we have to take a break, folks. I'm here talking to Woody Powell, Executive Director of Veterans for Peace, Bud Drapps, member of Veterans for Peace. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll have more of that coming up following this traffic break. Good morning, St. Louis. 34 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry. Look for an accident on the right shoulder. Memorial Drive and most of the streets downtown are closed from Fair. St. Louis have been reopened. Lenore K. Sullivan and the East Bridge will remain closed at this time. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Traffic's building there. Eastbound 40 at 141 and 270. Look for congestion going on. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into 170. Looks good. And they still have some paving operations going on in both east and west directions on the Poplar Street Bridge. So expect some delays rolling up onto the bridge at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery, set for life. 6 new instant games, $200 million in total available prizes. Plus second chance drawings. Illinois Lotteries, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly cloudy skies in the morning, partly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the lower 80s. Tonight, mostly clear, low in the lower 60s. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid 80s. And Friday, mostly sunny as well with a high in the mid 80s. Currently, we have 70 degrees. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown should return on Thursday. Up next, more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is it time to make a change? Tune in to Sort It Out with professional organizers Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m., and we'll share with you everything we know from our expertise in organizing, be it life, home, or business, to us motivating and empowering you to go after your dreams and goals.
We are known as the dynamic duo, and we can rescue you from your organizing challenges. We want to encourage you to get real with your life and regain control.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the capital in Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, wgnu@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
With my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
We're coming. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm talking to Woody Powell, Executive Director of Veterans for Peace, and Bud Duraps, a member of Veterans for Peace. And Bud, let's finish this conversation about some of the things that our veterans or our soldiers are going through while they're in Iraq. Talk to us about the suicide component.
Well, suicides are the result of one particular drug that we've been giving them, Valerium, you know. Another thing, though, our troops over there are being really stressed out. They are putting in extreme hours on duty. And consequently, they are given stimulants to enable them to exceed their normal hours. Troops come back from an action, and when they are told what they have done, they can't believe it. In other words, they have done vicious things that they didn't even realize what they were doing. Wow. Now, as far as the returning troops and the troops even over there, there were 61 Army suicides this year alone, with 68 Army suicides last year, 49 in 2001, 63 in 2000. They say the Army's worst period in the past 13 years was in 1991, the year of the Persian Gulf War, when it reported 102 suicides.
What about homicides?
Well, there is a case where troops returning to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, four of them killed their wives, three of them committed suicide. In 2001, Deputy Defense Secretary Wolfowitz, who we hear in the news sometime today, said that in 2000, over 10,500 military, physical, or sexual assaults of a spouse occurred. And these side effects, they say, can occur years after this medication has been taken.
Now, we've been talking about the horrible cost of the war in the Gulf War and also the war in Iraq, the babies that you saw, and that we will be having to deal with this for years and years to come. So, Woody, talk to us about that, because some people would make the argument that, well, you know, this is war, and these are the things that happen in war. Does that argument apply in this particular occupation?
Short answer is that I don't think so. I don't think that these wars need to happen. Jimmy Massey, 12-year veteran of the Marines, came back from Iraq. I spoke to him on the phone shortly after he returned to Waynesville, North Carolina. And he started to tell me his story of his service in Iraq. He said for 3 months they sat on the Kuwaiti border and they all took training on how to cap off oil wells. So he said right off at the get-go they knew they weren't there to liberate the Iraqis.
They took training of how to cap off
oil wells.
Oil wells.
Right. And being good Marines,
they were not asked to, okay, this is where we're going to be looking for weapons of mass destruction today. This is where we're going to be looking for weapons of mass destruction tomorrow. No, it was capping off oil wells.
Exactly. And so they just sort of, you know, sucked it up and did what they were supposed to do. And then the invasion was on. And then they found themselves in this totally impossible condition, and I remember this well from Korea, where you couldn't tell friend from enemy, and they found themselves killing civilians. And
what does that do to a man? What does that do to a man or a woman now?
Well, you know, I could give an answer, but you're going to have to use imagination and just think about what it might do to you if you were to walk down the street and see somebody that had a hot dog in their hand, you mistook it for a gun, you shot them, and it turned out to be a kid eating a hot dog. All right, now what is that going to feel like to you? All right, you'll get close to it, perhaps. Depends on how strong your imagination is. that this is where people need to use their imaginations and put themselves in other people's shoes, not just listen to the patriotic jingoistic stuff mm-hmm. about how glorious war is or how necessary it is and so forth, but put yourselves in somebody else's shoes. Put yourselves in Jimmy Massey's shoes.
Now, you both are members of Veterans for Peace. Some people may consider that a contradiction in terms. How are you embraced, or how are you looked at and viewed by veterans?
Different ways. Some veterans feel that we are betraying some kind of trust. I don't know. Maybe that's not the word. I've been called a traitor
mm-hmm.
because I've been against a war, and this one in particular. But I was against the Gulf War, and some people thought, well, that was justified. Well, I don't think so either. I don't think any war is justified at this point in my development. I'm 72 years old.
Mm-hmm. Do you find a difference between age groups? Do you find younger men in the position where you were maybe on the Vietnam War? Do you find that it's the older that you get, the more that you appreciate and are able to look back with a little bit more wisdom than you had when you were younger?
Yeah, it's nice of you to call it wisdom. But I do know some things that I didn't know then. And I feel some things differently. I'm not so quick to anger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more inclined to investigate a situation and try to see where where justice really does lie.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the veterans that I talk to are accepting of my position, okay? But some of them can't accept it for themselves. They still think that there's such a thing as a just war.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't argue against that. That's where they are, okay? And people need to be where they are in order to get where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make some sense?
That makes absolute sense, and we have to take a quick break here. I'm talking to Woody Powell, Executive Director of Veterans for Peace, and Bud Drapps, a member of Veterans for Peace. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. My number here is 454-0400. And when we come back, Woody, I'd like to talk about a component of the 9/11 that I thought was very compelling, the recruiting component. I'd like to talk about that when we get back.
Okay.
I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
More of the best of the Wake Up Call coming up next following these commercials. We'll have more at the top of the hour with your news, traffic, and weather. That's up next right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Shara Dalen. Join me for Women Inspiring Women every Wednesday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I'll be bringing my power tools, that is, power tools for women. Each week, I'll discuss who, what, when, where, and how to make it happen in your personal and professional life. So remember, join me, Shara Dalen, every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. as part of Women Inspiring Women on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Woody Powell, Executive Director for Veterans for Peace, and Bud Durapps, a member of Veterans for Peace. And Bud, you were telling me off the air, because I had asked Woody the question of how his contemporaries view your organization, Veterans for Peace. You are a veteran of World War II. How do your contemporaries view you and view wars?
I would say that nearly every one of them is, they are still waving the flag, have the attitude that this is a just war. They support what is going on, and they...
My country right or wrong.
And they cannot understand why I am so pro-peace.
And I want to talk about this because you talk about my country right or wrong, and there is such a thing as a just war. Let's talk about one of the issues that was brought out on Fahrenheit 9/11, the efforts to recruit. Woody, you gave me an article by an ex-recruiter, Marine recruiter, Chris White, and he talks about the problems of that go on. And with the military recruiting, he talks about that there are incentives to deceive. Recruiters have every incentive to be dishonest. Once in the Marine Corps, recruiters have monthly quotas. Once they're filled, they could slack off for the rest of the month. The more people are signed up, the better their chances for promotion. The incentive for dishonesty is high. They fail to tell you, this is the college benefit component, they fail to tell you that you must pay $1,200 in your first year of military in order to get the GI Bill, which is quite a bit of money. When your salary is only $700 a month, you'll be lucky to get your monthly GI Bill check in your first 3 months of college since the bureaucracy is so inept. You better have enough money saved up before you arrive. About duty station assignments, recruiters tell potential reservists that they can go to college and serve 1 week in a month with very little chance of being called back to active duty. However, the current administration wants to call up 300,000 reservists to the Gulf alone. Job placements. Many of us were manipulated into joining the infantry after initially asking to be military police. However, this job is usually filled because there is so much demand for it. Many recruiters will tell potential recruits that they will be military police. They persuade them to join the infantry at the last minute. There's quite a bit of deception that goes on in the recruiting process, and if this is a just... thing, and then why do people have to lie to get people to join up?
Because people don't join up to go out there and kill. That's the long and the short of it. Mm-hmm. People join for a lot of personal reasons, many of them built around the need to, the desire to improve themselves, to improve themselves economically and educationally, and those are the buttons that are pushed by the recruiters.
I love this one line about the promise of the GI Bill that they will receive money for college. Can you talk to us about that?
That's what, very, very few of them ever pick that up because there's a $1,200 bill up front.
Mm-hmm. That you have to pay out of your salary, that you make $700 a month.
Yeah,
you've got to pay
right.
that first before you get any benefit.
That's right. That's right.
And
it says, I have a note here that the promise of the GI Bill directly contradicts the reality. Most veterans do not receive any money for college. The Army claims that the GI Bill offers up to $50,000 for college. In reality, 57% receive none of this money, while 23% receive only half of the offered amount. One must also be honorably discharged, which 25% of veterans are not.
Mm. So, and that's the big take, particularly when you go into poor, economically disadvantaged, or economically stressed communities. And that was one of the points made in Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah.
Where do they go to recruit?
Oh, yeah.
Do they go over to, I don't know, to Ladue?
No.
To over to the malls over there, or do they come to Northwest Plaza?
You know where they go. They go to Northwest Plaza, of course. I've got a recent email from one of our chapter leaders out in Oregon, Deb Heading. She served in the Air Force. She said, for the last 4 years of her career before retirement, I was the full-time GS-12 Chief of Public Affairs, Air Mobility Wing, Travis Air Force Base. I was co-located with the recruiting section there, providing marketing support for their efforts and supervising the Chief of Recruiting, a Master Sergeant with an MBA, who directed 15 recruiters. She said it was an eye-opening experience. All of the recruiters were enlisted with graduate degrees. So you ask, why wouldn't they pursue commissions, become officers, okay? Silly. They can make more money than commissioned officers as commissioned sales staff,
mm-hmm.
as long as they meet and exceed quotas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very plush assignment. It's a way to make a lot of money.
And quite frankly, you never have to see the faces of any of the people that you duped into getting into the military.
That's right.
You never have to see them again.
That's right. You just tell them, this is your patriotic duty. Come on aboard.
You can make money. You can be a famous singer, famous rap singer, like you can in Fahrenheit 9/11.
That's right.
You know, let me take a call here. Mr. D, good morning. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you have a question for our guest.
Yeah, but listen, like the gentleman was talking, I'm a leftover from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wanting to ask him, what is wars all about? What do they start wars for?
What do they start wars for?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. D.
And I want to get his answer, and I want to give him mine.
Okay, well, we only have 2 minutes here. So give us yours first, and then we'll end with theirs.
They do that to control the population. They say a boy 18 years to 21, he's nothing but a walking sperm bank.
Mm.
And if we can destroy that, we can control the population.
Thanks for your observation. Thank you so much.
It's no different than what Hitler did and Roosevelt did with a nickel and two nickels and a dime.
What is war for?
Oh, a number of things, and one of them, as he pointed out, is genocidal.
Mm-hmm.
To get rid of large populations of people that interfere with somebody's plan for their aggrandizement of some sort, you know, their view of the world. Different people have different views of the world, and if it's an especially selfish, self-serving view, it can result in war, and I think that's what's happening to us right now with this plan for a new American century that's being manifested right now by this present administration, which, according to their own words, puts America in charge of the rest of the doggone world because we're the remaining superpower. We can do it, and very possibly, the people think, because we can, we ought to.
And but I want the final word to be yours. What should people do? What should people do? Because your organization, Veterans for Peace, is opposed to war. What would you like to see people do?
Well, they cannot act until they are educated as to what is really going on. Under the auspices of the American Friends Service Committee, we're starting a new organization called Alternatives to Military Service.
Mm.
And we want to educate the draft age people actually what is going on. And there are bills sitting in Congress for the last year that will and can reinstate the draft.
So it's coming.
We suspect that it could very well come after the election.
Is there a website that people can get some more information about your organization and the some of the things that the recruiters do when they go out and try to draft your children?
Yes, you go to veteransforpeace.org. That's all one word, veteransforpeace.org.
And I want to thank both of you, Woody Powell and Bud Drapps. Veterans for Peace, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. An angry protest in Seoul, South Korea. It's in reaction to North Korea's test of at least 7 missiles, one which might have reached the U.S. had it not failed.
A different kind of fireworks. 7 missiles fired by North Korea on the 4th of July. If they were aimed at grabbing the attention of the administration, they succeeded. The White House has called the tests a provocation. Japan and South Korea are on high military alert, and the Japanese have suspended ferry service with the North. There was some comfort in that the Taepodong 2, believed to be capable of reaching the U.S., failed 40 seconds after launch. The test firings fly in the face of international opinion, and the U.N. Security Council will be taking up the matter in emergency session.
ABC's Linda Albin at the Foreign Desk in London. The casinos in Atlantic City, New Jersey are now closed. They're on a list of non-essential state businesses shut down today until the legislature adopts a new budget. At this point, that's not expected to happen anytime soon. The Discovery crew's gotten its wake-up call. It's the first full day in space for the astronauts, and at the top of their to-do list today is to take pictures of the shuttle to see if it was damaged during liftoff, and that's in addition to the photos that were already taken.
These guys have a lot of film to review, and it will probably take a couple of 3 days before we get the whole story together.
Shuttle Program Director Wayne Hale. Israel's told its army to push deeper into the Gaza Strip after a Palestinian rocket hit a southern Israeli city.
A flying wedge of tanks and troops will for the first time take up positions in residential areas, Israel Radio reporting that. Now the government has approved an expansion of the army's operations in Gaza, including deployment in residential areas. More controversially, the government has apparently also okayed the assassination of Hamas leaders.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Jerusalem. At least 8 people are dead after an explosion and fire on a bus in Kiev, Ukraine. The driver had pulled the vehicle over to the side of the road, was trying to make some repairs. An emergency official says the driver was pouring fuel from a gas tank into a canister at the time. ABC News.
Can't remember the last time you replaced your ink cartridge? Then come in to Office Depot. Office Depot has over 400 ink and toner items in stock. Plus, save up to 15% on HP multi-packs versus single packs. Or save up to 15% on Office Depot brand ink versus the national brand. Office Depot never runs out of ink. Neither should you. Taking care of business.